Thanks for tuning into the STA Money Hour. For today, I'm your host, Scott Bishop, the Director of Financial Planning here at STA Wealth. As always, if you have any questions for us, please go to our website at www.stawealth.com and feel free to ask a question. So let's get going. Welcome to a special Memorial Day edition for STA Money Hour. Here at STA Wealth, we wanted to do a show that is focused on honoring our heroes out there, our military veterans. If you go to our website after the show, you'll see some financial planning articles that I posted out there specifically written to help our veterans. For today's show in studio, we are excited to have two veterans here with us that are here from Valor Services. So let me first welcome Steve Yen and Valerie Hamilton. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Sure. Well, let me give a quick intro so you can see how impressed you should be with these two people here with me. Steve is the founder and CEO of Valor Services. He's an Army Infantry Captain, Ranger, and Bronze Star recipient. Steve served leading and commanding troops in Iraq in 2006, 2007, and 2008. His battlefield experience involves the full spectrum of counterinsurgency operations. After transitioning out of the Army, Steve leveraged the professional and personal strengths he forged in the military to achieve corporate and entrepreneurial success. Also here with us is Valerie Hamilton. Valerie is an HR and operations consultant with Valor, and she is also the Veterans Program Manager. In the Army, Valerie served as a Senior Intelligence Collection Manager and Target Capture Specialist for the National Security Agency, the NSA. While serving in Iraq, Valerie was one of the first women to participate in ground combat operations, conducting numerous missions supporting infantry and special operations forces in the pursuit of high-value targets. Both of you, that's very impressive. Their firm, Valor Services, leverages a fusion military leadership and organizational expertise with a suite of top-tier professional services to deliver solutions for talent acquisition, workforce, and organizational development. Valor's unique incorporation of the best aspects of military culture into private sector capabilities arms them with a powerful platform with which to passionately champion our military veterans' transitions to civilian life and also post-military career advancement. I really love their firm, and bottom line, here at STA Wealth, we're happy to have them here, especially since they work with veterans to find great civilian jobs and also assist businesses to find veterans that will be a great fit to help our businesses grow. And that is great for the Texas economy, and we love that here at STA Wealth. Now I've done enough talking. Let's start by talking to Steve and Valerie. Those are the people that we really want to hear from anyways. Again, welcome to our studio. Steve, let me start with you. Steve, I've given a background of Valor Services, but maybe you can give us a little bit more about the history and how Valor Services got its start.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. Thanks again for having us here. I appreciate your sharing my bio, and that gives, I think, a pretty good snapshot of my background. What led me to join the Army in the first place was actually the September 11th attacks in 2001 that happened when I was an undergrad, and I decided that day that I was going to serve in combat, which I subsequently did after graduating college. You had have already given a pretty good summary of what I did in the Army, and after the Army, I was able to obtain a great position with Raytheon in their financial executive development program. And from there, actually was able to strike out as an entrepreneur. And I had a business before this, which was not related other than the fact that my principal investors were, several of them were oil men, and that had given me my first exposure as a native Virginian to the oil and gas industry. And that had really started some gears turning in my mind as to the fit of military veterans into our economy, really across all levels, and specifically in the oil and gas sector. Obviously, during the last boom, we've had a significant undersupply of qualified labor at all levels, from entry level to field supervisors to any of the advanced or professional type vocations. And as I mentioned, it was very clear to me that military veterans of the global war on terror generation really have a tremendous aptitude to be successful in that sector and others. So this was sort of the onus that led me to start Valor, and our evolution into the business that we've become today is really a function of listening to the marketplace and responding to the opportunities that were available to us.
You know, I was at a CEO roundtable just about a month ago, and we had a speaker come in talking about how to work with Generation Y, the millennials. And he was saying, because a lot of the things they're going through, it's a lot like the great generation that went through World War II. It is very complimentary, but saying that, you know, those of us older than me that are baby boomers and me that's a Generation Xer just really need to understand what make them tick, because they're going to be possibly the next greatest generation that comes out of this country.
Well, I would certainly agree when I look at the quality of person that volunteered to fight in the war on terror, and it is, I think, very important to note that the war on terror is the first major war fought by all volunteers since the Revolution, which is a very significant statement. But certainly the character and quality of individual that volunteered to serve in this modern era of conflict, I would 100% completely agree that they are the next greatest generation of Americans.
I agree. Well, let's get one thing on Memorial Day before we get to the next segment. As we approach Memorial Day, what are your thoughts on how the general public should choose to think about Memorial Day?
Candidly, I think that folks need to remember that this is not another holiday to celebrate themselves, but this is a very somber and important holiday for us to recognize the sacrifice that's been made by nearly every generation of Americans in order to provide us with the freedoms and the way of life that we all enjoy. And I think that that must be absolutely at the forefront of people's minds as they go into that weekend and hopefully throughout the year, but certainly and especially on that day.
You know, Steve, as you're talking about it, and I know a lot of people think of it's a way to have a barbecue, but you're making me think of the last time I was in Washington, D.C., and I went on a tour of Arlington Cemetery and saw, you know, the amazing display and demonstration and what was going on in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, a very somber event, but it really made you think when you saw all of the people that have served and died for this country, and how you should maybe think about them, which is different than just having a barbecue in your backyard. Thank you for those comments. We'll be right back with the next segment of STA Money Hour. Welcome back to the STA Money Hour here on this Memorial Day weekend. We're here in studio with Steve and Valerie of Valor Services. So I'd like to kind of get now, guys, get into the meat of the questions about how we can help our veterans here on this Memorial Day. So my next question for you guys, what are the challenges that our veterans are finding as they try to transition from their military career and all the training they get to working in the private sector?
Well, I think that there's a primary issue would be a skills gap, and that skills gap is both a real skills gap and a perceived skills gap. Now, the latter, the perceived skills gap, is actually the greater obstacle, and that occurs on really both sides of the employment picture. That is that employers don't understand the military in great detail. They don't understand how these folks' experiences translate into different capabilities or different value propositions for their businesses. And similarly, the veterans do not know how to successfully market themselves or frame their experiences to employers. And I think that this is certainly, again, the good news is that this perceived skills gap is actually much larger than the actual skills gap, because in reality, veterans develop, first of all, extremely valuable personal and professional characteristics in the military. So basic things that are, in my opinion, painfully absent from much of our society and our civilian workforce, simple things such as integrity, personal accountability. For example, in the Army, 10 minutes early is considered on time. I think there would be a lot of employers that would be thrilled with that with their employees. And all the way from those sort of basic things to the more advanced competencies that we developed, like ingenuity, complex problem solving, obviously leadership and team skills, and really resiliency, if you can think about some of the experiences these young people have had in very formative years of their lives, no matter how stressful things may be at work, it's going to pale in comparison to what they've experienced on the battlefield. And I know from my personal experience and from what I've observed in business, just having that sort of that foundation and that sort of gravity, not only at the individual level, but as a part of a team, really pays a lot of dividends when the going gets tough in business.
Well, I want to get back to that skill set and how it transitions in just a second. But, Steve, I have a question for you. If we have anybody that's listening that's a veteran that's having trouble finding a job or maybe isn't able to really put in writing or put in words what their skill sets are, what services do you at Valor Services give them to help them position themselves or maybe resume writing? What types of things do you bring to the table for them?
So we like to see ourselves as both champions of veterans in terms of really going out to employers and trying to intensely message these various values and skills that they bring to the table. And similarly for the veterans, we like to provide mentorship. So we have some resources available in terms of sort of talking through these themes in more detail. And of course, any veterans that we accept into our recruiting programs then go through a very intensive process whereby they're not only screened and vetted by us, but we do very intensive work with them in their resumes. And at a personal level, both Valerie and I try to talk to any veteran that wants to talk to us, whether they fit into our particular programs at the time or not. And I know for myself, the primary message that I really try to impart on these folks is to begin with understanding their experiences in private sector language. So, for example, as officers and non-commissioned officers, we really are consummate project management professionals. And even that just that fundamental basic understanding will equip people with an ability to not only produce a more effective resume, but also frame their experiences properly so that they can successfully gain employment. And ultimately, the most important measure is to be successful in that job or career, not just to get hired.
Well, that mentoring sounds fantastic. And I'll make sure that on our website, we get your website out there at valorservices.com. So if you're listening and you want those services, please go there and check it out. But let's go now to the active way that that these veterans can benefit the companies and the companies can understand it. Cause, you know, I really think that veterans get an amazing skill set, a different skill set than most of us going through college or business school get when we're going through there, when they're servicing their, serving the company. And I think many of those skills can translate very well, to the private sector. So as our veterans return home, which of these skill sets that they've learned do you find transition well into the private sector?
Well, so as I had mentioned earlier, there's, I think, a whole wide array of personal and professional characteristics that are developed that are applicable to any type of business activity. Beyond that, you have the military has such a wide array of vocations that you have folks that come out with hard technical skills that are directly translatable to jobs in the private sector. And that's everything from high-skill labor to doctors and lawyers and engineers and folks like that. So you really are talking about a population that has, generally speaking, very desirable characteristics and professional traits, in addition to that, have a wide array of directly applicable skills. And in the case of someone like myself, who is an infantry officer, where my profession was to lead and command combat troops in pursuit of the enemy, while that may not be directly translatable to a private sector vocation, certainly the leadership skills that I developed, the project management competencies, and overall entrepreneurial ingenuity of being able to achieve complex objectives in a very adverse and ambiguous environment. I think that those types of experiences will always equip somebody to be able to handle the challenges of business with hopefully with an exceptional outcome.
Well, I think the hard skills are easy, but those soft skills, those leadership skills, are something that you've just outlined that are very important and beneficial to all the employers here in Houston, Texas. So thanks for sharing that. We'll come back and we'll ask some more questions on the STA Money Hour. Now, welcome back. And again, we're here in studio with Steve and Valerie from Valor Services. And I had a few more questions, but I'd like to kind of go back real quick, if you don't mind, Steve, to a point that you hit on that really hit home with me in the last segment. And I know there's a lot of, you know, tangible skills that people get. I mean, they could be welders, they could be engineers, you even said it could be physicians and nurses. And I think that's really easy to put on a resume and understand by the employer. But a lot of those soft skills, the leadership, the ability to understand the diversity of the workplace, the challenges they have to overcome being in Afghanistan or being in Iraq. Maybe you can talk about the skill set and how those are really important for the employers.
Absolutely. And I think this is perhaps the greatest aspect of the value proposition of military veterans, is that they do bring hard technical skills to the table, but more importantly, and I think much more rarely, they command these soft skills. And I've always said that it is a much easier proposition to teach somebody how to do a job than it is to teach them how to have personal accountability, how to be a leader, or how to have strong team skills. And, you know, Valerie could speak to this as well, but in the military, it is truly a cross-section of our society. So in no other environment are you going to be thrown in with folks from all different walks of life, and further turnovers is typically about every 2 years or even less for the officers in terms of moving from unit to unit. So you're replicating this experience of not only making these interpersonal connections, but understanding how to integrate yourself into a new team and how to deal with folks from all walks of life. And again, you're having to do this on quite a regular basis. So the conflux of all of these experiences really develop these soft skills in a way that cannot be duplicated in any other experience. And I always talk about, from a leadership perspective, if you think about, you know, these are very young people that are being sent into the most extreme situations with the most extreme expectations and burdens placed on them. For example, I was commanding troops in Iraq in my early and mid-20s. So, you know, as a individual, as a person, those are still formative years. You're still developing as a person. And when you're thrust into that level of responsibility, it just simply matures you and develops you in a way that you wouldn't have been without that experience.
Well, I think that teamwork's really important. Is that, you know, as a prior MBA student myself, learning how to even work in the business environment as a team was something new that you learn. And as you're going through, say, an undergraduate, it's kind of all on your own, all for yourself, one person in it for themselves. So that team is really good. So let's go from kind of the you know, the soft skills. Let's talk about some of maybe something a little bit more tangible for our listeners here. You know, we're here in Houston, and we're kind of the oil and gas mecca of the world, and it's so dominant here. Do you find that the veterans that you're talking to match well and work well in the oil and gas industry?
Absolutely. I'm a passionate proponent of military veterans exploring careers within oil and gas. The similarities to the military are numerous. You know, this is a very boots on the ground heavy industry. Folks need to be comfortable working outside and dealing with harsh conditions. Safety is something that is at the forefront of any activity in oil and gas. And for military personnel, this comes extremely naturally because, of course, safety is at the forefront of everything we do in the military. Further, the sort of the cultural norms of the oil and gas industry tend to be very patriotic, conservative, sort of red-blooded American. And of course, that aligns very well with the type of people who are willing to basically sign a blank check payable with up to their lives to this country. Typically, those folks have very strong convictions that really match the culture of the oil and gas industry. And further, military veterans are often seeking, in their subsequent careers after their military, they're seeking to be a part of something that they feel is very important. And geostrategically, I don't think that there is any activity going on in the private sector that's more important than American energy independence. So I found that both for myself as well as for a lot of the veterans that we work with, this also provides that sort of higher purpose and that sense of mission, which is equally as important for a lot of these folks as being able to provide for their families.
Well, you know, if I was an engineer, someone working on an oil and gas platform or maybe in a refinery, maybe like the Horizon problems we were having in the Gulf of Mexico, I would probably would have felt a little bit more comfortable having some military people that were there that were used to having to think on their feet
right.
and be able to deal with the stressful environment without breaking. I think that's a really amazing thing. Back, just one more thing real quick on the oil and gas. Maybe you could share with us a few specific success stories and maybe about some specific career placements or maybe some specific oil and gas companies you've worked with that have done really well for the veterans.
Sure. So there is a lot of interest in this industry, and one of the reasons that I feel very strongly about this industry versus others that have indicated interest in hiring veterans is that I do believe the oil and gas industry is more ahead of the ball in terms of seeing this as a value proposition versus sort of a way of giving back or charitable proposition. So we've had a lot of success, really everything from C-level placements. Specifically, one peer of mine who was also a former infantry officer and ranger. His name's Tim O'Neill. He served in that capacity. When he got out, he pursued his MBA and basically became an HR executive. He worked for Consol, and we were able to recruit him from that and place him in a director of HR role with a water transfer client of ours. And very quickly, within less than a year, he was already been promoted essentially into a more broad operational role where he covers both the management of the HR as well as expanding into various operational type responsibilities as well.
Well, kind of like when you were a captain in the Rangers and the infantry, you had to be able to think on your feet and you had to be able to think about the big picture and
Absolutely.
Also about the very specifics of what was going on in the ground.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, Valerie, we'll have to get you in here in the next segment and we'll talk a little bit more. So come back to us in our next segment of the STA Money Hour.